Good morning for KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis, sitting in for Dan Bross. The Fairbanks City Council voted Monday to allow consumption of marijuana at authorized cannabis shops in town. The council voted 4-2 to adopt an ordinance that would amend the city code and allow so-called cannabis cafes to sell customers a small amount of marijuana for consumption on site. Council members David Prues and Valerie Therrien voted yes on the measure, joining Shoshana Kuhn and Catherine Otterston, who introduced and co-sponsored the measure. Jerry Cleworth and June Rogers dissented. The council turned back a substitute ordinance to refer the issue to voters this fall, with Mayor Jim Matherly breaking the tie to defeat the measure. Also Monday, the council recognized the retiring city police chief, Eric Jukes, for his service to the department and the city.
It takes a special type of person to serve as a police officer.
Matherly thanked Jukes, who's served as chief since he replaced Randall Aragon 3 years ago.
It's my honor, and I'm very humbled to congratulate Eric on his 25 years and his retirement. Please join me in thanking him.
The council then voted unanimously to confirm Anchorage Police Lieutenant Nancy Reeder as the new chief of the Fairbanks Police Department. Reeder was traveling out of state and unavailable for comment. Governor Mike Dunleavy suggested in an Anchorage news conference Monday that he could order state lawmakers into a special session unless they start advancing his batch of criminal justice bills. Dunleavy put a tough-on-crime approach at the center of his campaign last year, and at the start of the legislative session in January, he proposed 4 different measures. One toughens penalties for certain sex crimes, a second boosts possible sentences for drug and other types of crimes, and 2 others allow for tougher bail, probation, and parole conditions. But none of the bills has passed the House or Senate, and in the House, all the bills are stuck in the first committee to which they were referred. Dunleavy says if that doesn't change, he won't take the idea of a special session off the table.
The people of Alaska, I believe, right now demand that we get these bills that we filed moving and out before the session is over. We have plenty of time to do that, and we are imploring once again that the legislature move our crime package.
The governor made a similar pitch to lawmakers earlier this month, saying there'll be no deal to end the session without action on his crime bills or his constitutional amendments on state finances and the PFD. But a key member of the State House says the changes Dunleavy wants are too ambitious and all are unlikely to be passed this year, even though some have support. Anchorage Democrat Matt Klayman chairs the House Judiciary Committee, where 2 of Dunleavy's bills are stuck, and he told reporters Monday that the governor's going to have to compromise. The legislature is close to passing a bill that would change the conflict of interest laws the legislature passed last year. The measure would limit the number of cases that require lawmakers to disclose conflicts. The Senate passed an earlier version of the bill, which would have repealed the conflict of interest provisions entirely. The House passed its own version, and a conference committee agreed on the compromise Monday. Anchorage Democratic Representative Chris Tuck describes how the bill scales back the cases in which lawmakers have to declare conflicts.
Conflicts are going to be reduced, but when you do have a conflict, we're basically tying that person's hands all the way for any type of legislative action.
The bill would continue to prohibit lawmakers from taking action to financially benefit themselves or their spouses, as well as their current employer or an employer that they're negotiating with. But it would no longer cover other family members or anyone who pays the legislator or their family at least $10,000 in the previous year. North Pole Republican Senator John Coghill says it's rare that lawmakers would have a conflict of interest under the changes, but he says the bill is needed because last year's law was unclear.
Hardly ever have we seen a clear-cut case where they are going to either get a job, aggrandize a company, or themselves specifically, but this at least makes that clear.
The Select Committee on Legislative Ethics ruled that the law passed last year bars lawmakers from talking with constituents about pending bills if they have a conflict. The new bill explicitly says the law isn't intended to restrict the ability of lawmakers and constituents to meet.
It is better than what we had before.
League of Women Voters Alaska President Judy Andree supported last year's law and expressed concerns about the Senate seeking to repeal the new restrictions. Andree's worried the bill won't cover legislators' children, but she says it's good that lawmakers reached a compromise. State officials have halted plans to privatize an Anchorage psychiatric facility under a no-bid contract that's come under scrutiny. The Anchorage Daily News reports State Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum announced the change at a press conference Monday afternoon. Crum reportedly said that while the Tennessee-based company WellPath will continue to manage the Alaska Psychiatric Institute for the next several months, the state will open private operation of the facility to a competitive bidding process. The department also announced the facility has a new leader. A news release issued Monday says Matt Dammeyer has taken over as the Psychiatric Institute's CEO, effective Monday. Dammeyer spent the last 10 years at Central Peninsula Hospital in Soldotna, and according to the news release, his priority will be growing API's bed capacity. API's problems have grown especially acute in the last several months, with staffing shortages, reports of mistreated patients, and substandard working conditions for employees. A lawsuit filed last week by a union representing workers at the facility sought to halt the privatization plan under WellPath, claiming that the no-bid contract violated state labor laws. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.